Let's
oh,
go.
Short. Rebound. Get Washington. Exum. Bullock pressuring. A three will tie it. A handoff to Luka. Back to Exum.
Got it. Oh!
They did it.
What a fun win. Welcome to Mavs Land. It's Monday morning in the DFW area. I'm your host, Isaac Harris, of the Dallas Mavericks in Studio 41. And guys, there's a problem. Houston, we have a problem. And it's not the Eclipse. It's the Dallas Mavericks. It's Dante Exum. It's Kyrie Irving. It's PJ Washington. The fact that I could lead with those three guys and it not be ridiculous not to have Luka Doncic tells you so much about where this team is at right now. What a fun win against the Rockets. It was, you know, I was saying just a few weeks ago, I'm like, man, these two Rockets games, I'm worried about them. They're playing good basketball. And they come away with two, you know, big wins. And this game, you know, that happened yesterday, you listen to this on a Monday morning or a Monday afternoon, you know, they had Houston in town and just an incredible gritty win. They go down by over 20 points there. And, you know, the second quarter, there were some fun tweets out there from Suns accounts or like, hey, fifth seed is ours. Tough looking at that box score later on. You know, Clippers accounts, Rockets. And it's like, dude, when you have Luka Doncic and Kyrie Irving, you're never out of a game. And just what I want to talk about, I always try to like have some big topic for the opener a little bit. And one, I want to say real quick, thanks for listening to the show. This is just the third episode of the show. Welcome to Mavs Land. Comes out every Monday morning if you listen to it later in the week. And yeah, it's a weekly show. It's a brand new show. And Cap, Bobby, and the crew at Studio 41 are gracious enough to let me host my own show right now and have some fun with it. So yeah, it's weekly. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. All right. The vibes on this team are so much fun. The vibes in the fan base, so much fun right now. And, you know, we know about vibes, right? Like it was just a few years ago, 2022, they go on that Western Conference run to, you know, to play the Warriors. They beat the Jazz in the first round of that. So much fun beating the Jazz. Even more fun beating the Phoenix Suns and the infamous Game 7 and all of that, like that run with Jalen Brunson and, you know, even the bench guys and Theo Pinson and those guys, like the vibes, that's when that term was just such a huge term, is kind of the Mavs kind of adopted that. The vibes are immaculate. And, you know, you really can't measure team chemistry, right? Like I just talked last week about, you know, magic tricks and how, you know, you got to have all these things to do a magic trick. And the one thing you can't measure when you're doing a magic trick is your willingness to actually try the trick. And Luka, his willingness to try anything is just insane. But you can't measure team chemistry. You can't open up Second Spectrum or Synergy or go to NBA.com or open up a box score after a game and like, all right, let me check out that team chemistry stat. They lost the team chemistry battle tonight. What, you know, just wasn't there. You can't measure that. And this team, the vibes right now are so good. And I think I was thinking about it a lot Sunday afternoon, just seeing all the celebrations, seeing Luka and Kyrie and, you know, them just, you know, draped over each other and seeing just everybody celebrating. And I'm like, dude, like this has the making of a little special team here, and the chemistry is going so good for this team. And I want to talk about a little bit what the secret sauce is, because I think the secret sauce is the fact that, and I get it, a lot of teams do this, and I know it's kind of cliche to do it, but let me do it. All right. Just give me a few minutes to let me cook on this for a second on the, everybody like doubted us. They're like, look at us. You didn't really believe in us type thing individually and as a team, because you look at this team now, they're two wins away from a 50-win season. They're fifth place in the Western Conference. we could go all day. Let's go down through some of the roster, right? We could go all day on the bad Luka takes this season. I mean, literally Colin Coward said he's Carmelo Anthony with a three-point shot. Really? All right. Let's keep going. I mean, from he doesn't play defense to he's too slow, all the stuff that people want to nitpick about Luka, we've heard it, we've read it, we've seen it on social media. All right. I don't want to go back through and walk through all of the past Kyrie stuff before Dallas. I just know when Dallas traded for Kyrie, it was labeled as desperate. It was labeled as this high-risk thing. And it was Nico Harrison who said, no, I think it's more risky not to trade for a guy like Kyrie Irving. Some people even gave that trade a D. A D grade. Well, guess what it's not right now? A D. Can we talk about PJ Gafford? Let's combine them together. What about Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington? These guys haven't played much winning basketball in their careers, okay? They both have had a brief stint there, one in Chicago with Gafford, one there in Charlotte with PJ Washington. But as far as playing on a team like this in these defined roles, playing winning basketball, these guys, I mean, we know when they made the trade, some other grades that came out there, some other podcasts out there, national media takes flying about these trades. Like, another word thrown out there, desperation. Is this Dallas being desperate? I don't know. Can PJ do anything? Well, he does all these things like, okay, but is he good? Is Daniel Gafford, like, what is he? He hasn't really played in a winning playoff consistent type of basketball. He's coming from Washington. They're playing the best basketball of their career right now. Dante Exum was playing in Europe the past 2 years. Derrick Jones Jr. signed for a vet minimum deal. Why did the Mavs take a big man in the lottery? Big men don't play for playoff teams. Who would ever say that? Yours truly. I did. Wasn't anything about Lively, but I was the one. I was one of the guys in pre-draft stuff saying, man, like, I just don't know if Dallas should really take a big. Like, you look historically and say, like, how many big men, rookie big men, actually play for playoff teams? Because I knew the Dallas Mavericks were going for it this year. They're in win-now mode. They want to do this thing. Is Derek Lively going to have that big of an impact on this team? Guess who was wrong? Me. We know the doubters about Jason Kidd. We know the doubters about how Nico Harrison has built this team. I could keep going all day, yet this team is a prove-you-wrong team, and they love it. They love being a prove-you-wrong team. And I think that's the secret sauce that kind of holds them together. It's that sauce that, we're all looking at each other in the locker room and on the court and like, yeah, I have my doubters. Yeah, I was in Europe. Yeah, I couldn't get anything over a minimum deal. Yeah, people say I'm too slow. Yeah, people hated when I came here. They gave it a D grade. Like, I'm a rookie. I'm not supposed to play this many minutes. Like, you could look across the roster and they could look at each other and be like, man, people wanted this to fail. People thought that this would fail. People didn't know where I was at in my career. And yet they look at each other like, hey, we're a prove you wrong team. And I think that's a secret sauce for them that could carry them far in the playoffs. I mean, I was thinking the other day about the Jason Concepcion tweet. Jason's an NBA guru when it comes to kind of content, but I remember his tweet earlier in the season, kind of laughing at the Exum signing for Dallas, like, all right, well, this is your big signing of the offseason. Or even going back and looking at some of the grades for the Kyrie Irving trade. And I mean, that we could do a whole podcast on that, but you know, just seeing how so far, it's a tough season. Tough season for the non-Kyrie fans out there. Let's just leave it at that. And actually, I want to talk a little bit more about Kyrie later on. Let me do it now before I get into Luka MVP stuff. For Kyrie Irving this season, I am so impressed. All right. I tweeted out the rundown for today's show. I'm going to try to do that every Sunday and add some fun things in there when I'm going to talk about, because at the end, I want to always do these like quick hitters, kind of like on the back page of a newspaper, like kind of what gets thrown in there. But this isn't one of them. And somebody are like, hey, you got to talk about Kyrie. I'm like, you know, you're right. And I feel like every week I want to do like a deep dive and just talk for 30 minutes about Kyrie Irving. Because we could, because the season is going just insane. I mean, he's really close to having a 50-40-90 season. All right. Really, really close. And that's really impressive, especially where he's at in his career. And, you know, I said this on Locked On Mavs last week, maybe 2 weeks ago. Nick had me on. It's a great show if you've ever heard of it. I know it's kind of a new show and Nick's kind of new to doing podcasting, but I hopped on there. I'm just kidding. And, you know, I said, I think Kyrie's playing the best basketball of his career. And afterwards, I really thought about it. I'm like, did I really just like lean into that a little bit? But then I started looking at it and, you know, it's not just like these numbers and box score numbers and all of this. I really do think this is right there near the top of some of the best basketball of his career. I think he's playing, you know, like, I think he's playing good defense right now. I think what he's doing offensively is, I mean, I don't know how you can really argue that it's not what, I mean, he had 48 points on Sunday afternoon against Houston. The amount of minutes he's playing right now, it's just insane. The fact that he could finish with a 50-40-90 season is insane. And I will say this, I think he is the leader of this team. It is branded as Luka and Kyrie, and Luka's the leader of this team, sure, for sure, all right? But he kind of leads in his own way, kind of like Dirk did. Kyrie's the leader of this team. The respect, how he leads, like, you just see it. It oozes through the roster. And, you know what? I mean, we could talk about him being, is he the best clutch player in the NBA? If he's not the best, he's one of them. Is he, you know, one of the best offensive players in the whole NBA? Yeah, he is. And for the first time in Luka's career, we have somebody on the floor that's just as talented as him offensively. That when I made this joke the other day, that when Luka goes to the bench, it's not a time to go to the fridge to get a drink or to go to the bathroom or, hey, I'm going to go do this real quick. Or if you're at the game, like, hey, I'm going to go get some more nachos right now. It's Luka's time to go on the bench. You can't do that because you have Kyrie on the floor. And Luka trusts him. The coaches trust him. And to see somebody out there that Luka trusts to run the show and to have these clutch moments and to be right there with him, to hold him when he's tired, I think is so special, man. It's so fun watching this duo play. And especially, you know, I think as fans, whenever you're a fan of a team in any sport and your team makes a decision, whether it's a roster decision, whatever, you know, usually it's that, and they bring in a player or they draft a player or they combine players and they team up and how they can construct a team. And there's a lot of negative opinions about that construction or the pairing or the drafting and all of that. You kind of relish as fans, right, of seeing it work out, knowing that so many people are like, I don't know if that's going to work. It's not going to work and all these things. And seeing what Luka and Kyrie's doing together right now, seeing how much fun they're having, seeing them win, see them being fifth right now in the Western Conference, it's just a lot of fun as a Mavs fan. And I enjoy it. I want to keep watching it. And I bet teams in the playoffs do not want to watch it up close and personally in a playoff series. So there you go. Let's talk about something that no one else is talking about. All right. Nobody else is talking about this. There's a week to go in the season. And this is what I love to do, right? I love to talk about things that nobody else is talking about. People's minds are probably already made up. And so let's talk about it, the MVP race. Basically, it's down to three people. All right. Even though these conversations started, it drives me nuts when the MVP conversation starts in like November. And there's like 4 weeks. People's been playing for 4 weeks. And somebody's, you know, looking out there. And it's like, oh, Steven Adams leading the MVP ladder on NBA.com. It's like, what? He's played like, I don't know, like 12 games. What are we already doing MVP ladder for? Now's the time to talk MVP. Final few weeks of the season. Once again, a lot of people's minds, a lot of voters' minds are probably made up at this point. But I do want to talk about it. SGA, Jokic, Luka, all three in the Western Conference. Giannis and Tatum will probably be fourth, fifth. And then, you know, however else you want to give participation ribbons out after that. But, you know, I honestly think it's a two-person race at this point. I think it's Jokic and Luka. I think SGA, he missed 4 out of 5 games the other day. He's been kind of off and on, you know, with some injury stuff. And so I think for me, OKC fans, whatever, I'm sure you want to make your case too, and you are making your case. And SGA's had an incredible season. I think it's between Jokic and Luka. And I just want to say, I get it. If Jokic wins it, he deserves it. Okay. I totally get that. He deserves to win MVP. But I also think you can say somebody deserves to win MVP, and you can also say somebody else deserves MVP at the same time. And in that case, I think Luka Doncic deserves MVP at the same time. And I would love to give you some reasons why. Luka's about to have his third top five MVP finish in six seasons. That's half of his career, okay, that he's going to finish in the top five in MVP voting in his young career. That's insane. You say, Isaac, why are we talking about his career, not just this season? Give me a little bit. He's had this historical start to his NBA career that you could literally only compare to rivals, LeBron's, the you know, all these people's, that is some of the best players to play the game of basketball. So when you're picking areas for a superstar, an all-time great like Luka, that if he finished today, he would be in the Basketball Hall of Fame, considering all his accolades so far and his accolades from Europe. So when you're picking apart somebody and saying, all right, this a player of this magnitude has to improve, then you got to be kind of nitpicky, right? You got to really look at some of these things like, all right, he's got to do this. He can do this. He can prove that. He can prove that. Well, you know what? I listed some things that Luka needed to improve on after year five. And you know what he did? He improved on all of them. Did he get in better shape? Yeah, he did. This is some of the best shape he's played at in his entire NBA. There's been stories written about the team that he hired this year, this small group of guys that has been training him, that's helping him with his diet and training regimen and going throughout the season. So he did that. Can he change up his game? Can he play with a faster pace? Yeah, he's done that. You know what the Mavs finished in pace last year? They finished at 28th. You know what they are this year? They're fifth. He's showing you he can play at a faster pace. It's not just one style of basketball. Is he better defensively? Yeah, I mean, I would give you sometimes the effort's not there on the defensive end, but when he does lock in and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to play some good defense. He can do that. He's gotten better. He's not where he should, but he's definitely gotten better. He has improved on that. And that is an area that people wanted him to improve on. Can he play off the ball? Well, I think you can say he can play off the ball considering the season that Kyrie's having and the fact that they're a top five team in the Western Conference. Lastly, can he actually shoot the three at a high clip and shoot it at a high percentage? Well, he's shooting over 10 threes a game, and he's shooting at 38% from three. That's a career average from three-pointer right now. So all these areas that this historically great player that's been having these insane start to his career, like, hey, can he improve on these areas? He did it. While also being the league's leading scorer at 34 points a game, that is a lot, 34 points a game, all right? 15th in rebounding and second in assist. I just listened to Bill Simmons' podcast the other day where he was talking about the MVP race, and he was talking about this stat here and this adding up where you're at in these three categories and where certain players historically has finished at. And he was talking about Jokic and where he's going to finish this season. And then he references this season from, he's like, yeah. And then, you know, it was just a year or so ago that Jokic finished with a 17, meaning at where he's at in points, in rebounds, and assist, in those three areas added up to be a 17. And he referenced it in this like insane, like, oh my gosh, I mean, that's just an insane, like, of course he's MVP, which he is. I'm not taking anything away from it. Luka right now, first in points. Luka right now, second in assist. That adds up to three, if you didn't know that one. And he's 15th in rebounding. So he's an 18 right now, if you just want to do the Bill Simmons stat that he talked about the other day, which is insane. He has four Player of the Week awards. That's the most in the NBA. You guessed it. Guess what Jokic and SGA have? One each. He has two Player of the Month awards. That's the most in the NBA also. Jokic and SGA have one each. Now, he's also played with a changing supporting cast. And I think this is one, you've heard me say this on the Corner 3 and a live stream and other formats with in Studio 41, what we're doing with the Mavs there. I think this is one of his best cases that he has the Mavericks fifth in the Western Conference, and yet so much around him has changed in the lineup this year for the Dallas Mavericks. So you look at Denver. Let's look at Denver for a second. When you look at the eight-man rotation in Denver, the eight players that have played the highest minutes per game for Denver this season, everyone except Jamal Murray, who just entered back into the rotation, he's back playing, has played at least 70 games in the top eight rotation. For Dallas, only two players has barely played over 70 games, and that's Tim Hardaway Jr. and Derek Jones Jr. When you look at the top five-man lineups in minutes played this season, guess what the top two teams are in the five-man units that have played the most minutes together? Denver Nuggets at 895 minutes together. That's a lot. The Oklahoma City Thunder at 782 minutes together. That's a lot. The top two in the NBA are Denver and OKC. You know where Dallas is at? Dallas's top five-man unit that's played the most minutes together. That's Luka and Kyrie, Derek Jones, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford. That's more than any of the lineups before the trade, too. They've played 151 minutes together. 151 minutes together. That's absolutely insane when you compare it to 782 for OKC and 895 for Denver. You also ask, some people ask, does Luka make his teammates better? Bobby Corrala made this note the other day on the corner three last Friday. Look how many players on the Mavericks roster this season would you say is having career seasons? Daniel Gafford, PJ Washington, Dante Exum, Derek Jones Jr., Derek Lively as a rookie. Yeah, it's his first season in the league, but I was the one who was saying, hey, man, big men don't play in playoff rotations. Guess who's going to play when he's healthy? Derek Lively in the playoffs. Like, is it just a coincidence that all of these guys that's playing big-time minutes for Dallas is having career seasons? Is it a coincidence? Now, I don't want to give Luka all the credit for the Kyrie Irving season, but does it play into Kyrie having one of the best seasons of his career and the best season since insert whatever year that you want to say is Kyrie's best season? That these players playing around Luka Doncic this season are having the best seasons of their career. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that has something to do with playing with Luka Doncic. And if I told you before the season that the Mavs would finish with a better record than the Suns, the Lakers, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Warriors, and maybe even the Clippers, you would say I was crazy. Oh, and he also scored 73 points in a game. So Luka Doncic deserves to be MVP, and if he's not, he could have, and I think he probably will, have the greatest season to not be named an MVP that we've ever seen. So there's my, like, mini case for Luka being an MVP this season. I think he deserves it. I also think Nikola Jokic deserves it. I think you can say both players deserve the MVP. But, man, I don't know what else you have to do to win an MVP. If you're Luka Doncic. All right, let's do a little quick hitters here. Little quick hitters at the end. Man, I'm almost out of breath. I need some water. Actually, while I take a drink of water, y'all want to watch the Dante Exum shot one more time? If you're on YouTube, you get to watch it. If you're in audio, you get to hear it and hear Mark follow on. Listen to Harp. When the shot goes up, Harp calls it.
Let's go. Oh, sure. Washington, Exum, Bullock pressuring, a three will tie it, and hand off to Luka, back to Exum!
Got it!
Oh! They did it!
They did it! Dante's Inferno! Oh, I love those guys. Oh, that was so fun. All right, I got me a drink of water. Let's do some quick hitters. What's on the back page of the newspaper? If you go to a Mavs game, best place to get food, Zavala's Barbecue. Guys, this place is incredible. There's one location. It's on the concourse. I should have, before I even said it, I should have told you what section it is, but just keep walking in the circle, all right, until you find it. It's incredible. Like, all right. So media, we get, there's like media dining down below. All right. So we come in, check in with our media badge. We go to the event level, which is the level, there's like a level around the arena. And, you know, you keep on walking, there's locker rooms, there's all the stuff. Well, there's this media dining area. And so a lot of media traveling people, you know, from other teams and stuff, you know, there's a meal there. So you can purchase a meal. Some people get it for free and all this stuff. There's sometimes I'll give up the free meal just to go to Zavala's. Is that good? And I need to save money because I have two kids and there's a lot of other things I need to spend money on. But you know what? Zavala's is that good. Nachos, different stuff, like sometimes brisket, like so good. And I just want to give them a shout out. And yeah, if you go to a game, you got to get some Zavala's Barbecue. Next, Gilbert, Agent Zero Brain Cells Arenas. I think if you're an ex player and you are looking to make some extra cash on the side post-retirement, and you're like, man, do I know enough about basketball to like have an opinion or a take to be like on a show or a podcast or, you know, to get some notoriety and stuff like that? Well, Kendrick Perkins paved the way. All right. And now Gilbert Arenas is paving a new path. It's unbelievable. Some of the stuff. I saw a clip the other day of him talking about Jokic and how he's the worst MVP. And I'm like, dude, Jokic is going to go down as one of the greatest players of all time. And he could win his third MVP in 4 years and put him in like the pantheon of like the greatest big man of all time. But you know what? Washington Wizards, Gilbert Arenas here is firing off his takes. But he had a take the other day about Luka arguing for the MVP stuff. And I kind of like laughed because he was saying that SGA deserves it over Luka because SGA plays with a younger team. I'm like, dude, is that your criteria? Like, is that the thing that you're going with? And it's just funny for me because I think the goalposts change for Luka's MVP stuff so much that it's just like, oh, Luka needs to do this. And then he does it. And it's like, well, Luka doesn't do this. And it's like, okay, well, then it's like, it just changes and changes. And like, all right, well, you just don't want Luka to win it. So anyway, the playoffs are going to start. And I can't wait to consume some more of those takes right now. So, but it doesn't beat the Carmelo Anthony with the 3-point shot from Colin Coward. Just incredible. I mean, just an all-time take. And then Stephen A. Smith saying that Luka was fifth, he's battling for fifth in his MVP vote. And the fact that Stephen A. has an MVP vote. All right, next. The Eclipse is overrated. All right, this is getting out of hand. What are we doing? I get it that it is a once-in-a-lifetime thing. But just because it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing doesn't make it that special for us to shut down things. You know what else is a once-in-a-lifetime thing? Malachi Flynn scoring 50 points in a game. I'm not shutting down traffic in schools and work because Malachi Flynn is going to score 50 points in a game. I think it's cool. I think I will go outside and be like, cool, it got dark. I'm excited for it to get dark. We don't, you know, see it get dark very often, okay? And getting dark is just such a special, unique thing for us to like witness. I can't wait to, you know, see it. It's a cool thing. I get it. It'll be cool to talk to my kids about it and whatever. I just think it's getting out of hand, man. I just don't know what we're doing. So shout out to Eclipse people. All the science people can just come at me right now. And I've said this in the church community too, and people have came at me and like, this is God's creation. But yeah, God also created mosquitoes, and I smash every single one of them every time I see one. Don't come at me, PETA. I think that's it. Nope, let's do a quick standings update. Standings update. By time. As I look this up, can you look at this play that Kyrie Irving did on Dylan Brooks?
Dylan Brooks is in. He's got 5 fouls. So Kai's going to have a go right at him.
Nobody in this game. I love Skins laughing that. Oh, that play isn't good enough love right now. I tweeted it out tonight because it was earlier in the fourth quarter and all the stuff that happened afterwards was more important. But him just cooking Dylan Brooks was just incredible. Standings update. Dallas sitting at fifth. The Clippers had an incredible comeback tonight that was if Dallas wanted to catch them there at 4, that was unfortunate. But they're 2 games back from the Clippers, who are sitting in 4th. Dallas sitting in the 5th spot. They're 2 games up on the Suns right now. I should be looking to see what that Suns score is. So it's looking more and more likely for Dallas to finish in that 5th or 6th spot. Some people say the odds are, or not the odds, the percentages are... The percentages are high for the Dallas Mavericks to finish at 5th. and we'll see how the play-in shakes out. My whole thing is just avoid the play-in. That's all I want. That's the only thing that I want. Avoid the play-in. Don't play with your food. And yeah, so Warriors are up on the Jazz right now as I'm recording this podcast. So you're seeing when I record it. Oh, the Suns lost tonight to the Pelicans. Sorry. Now I'm I didn't realize that. Here I've been scoreboard watching forever. And yeah, so they lost to the Pelicans tonight. So yeah, two games back from Dallas, which is huge. The Pelicans are two games back from Dallas, so they're tied at the same record as the Suns. So Dallas, we got to take care of business over these final few games here. Charlotte coming up. Got a Pistons game coming up. We got the Heat game coming up. An OKC to finish out the season. We don't know who's going to be playing in that game, the last game of the season. So, yeah. So stay tuned. There you go. There's another episode of Welcome to Mavs Land. Catch us on, gosh, there's going to be an episode, I'm assuming, of Take That With You coming up in the next day or so. We have Somos on Thursdays. We have the live stream Bobby and I do on Wednesdays. We have the Corner 3 on Friday. So much stuff, so much content. I want to give a shout out to the content crew here with the Mavs with the video and social and all that, like what they've been putting out over the past few days, just with some of the shots that they're doing is just incredible, incredible work. So yeah, I think they're some of the best in the business. They're super talented. But catch you guys next week, next Sunday. We'll have one game left in the regular season, and then we'll probably be looking ahead at the week ahead and who we're going to be matching up with in the playoffs and all the stuff. Subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you're on YouTube, you watch us on YouTube, leave a comment below. Let me know how the show's going. Let me know how much you like it. I mean, I guess you can tell me if you dislike it, whatever. Where you want to improve on it, like my lighting. My lighting kind of sucks right now. I kind of get it. I need to fix my lighting, kind of restructuring some things. So don't come at me too hard. But yeah, let me know how it's going. And we'll be back next Monday for another episode of Welcome to Mavs Land. And don't look into the eclipse today, all right? Do not look into the eclipse. You heard it from me, even though it's overrated. Peace out!